Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them, and those are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Probably one of the most widespread misunderstandings is the idea that following Jesus, being a Christian, is really all about being good, about improving our behavior, and living up to a certain moral code of action. It's a widespread perception that being a Christian is all about being good. Now, there's nothing wrong with being good. In fact, being good is good. But that is not the sum total of what it is to follow Jesus. It is only a small part of it, in fact. Following Jesus is much more than just being good. It's not about a scorecard that's kept somewhere. You know, like Santa has that scorecard to see who's naughty and nice, you know. And of course, you want to be on the nice side of the ledger, you know. But those naughty ones, oh goodness, they just don't get the gifts. It's not like that. It's not about being good. If, in fact, it's about good at all, it's about how good God has been toward us, sending his Son Jesus to live among us, to redeem us, to set us free, to give us new life, to put us right with God. That is good. That's the good news of God's grace. But our goodness? Well, if you're really honest, not so much. You see, we are this odd mixture of sinner and saint, of naughty and nice. But now, because of Christ, we no longer have to worry about that scorecard. And there's a double danger with that scorecard. Of course, we might like to place ourselves in one column over the other. But of course, when we're on the good side, then there must be someone who's not. And then we automatically start looking down our noses at others. But we're all sort of in the same boat. And the good news is that for Jesus' sake, God has declared each and every one of us good enough. Good enough. He has justified us by grace through faith. He has restored our relationship to God. So we don't have to worry about being good. But that's the common perception that's out there, that that's really all it involves to be a Christian is, you know, to keep the Ten Commandments, you know, and to be good. But there's so much more to it. Yet that common misunderstanding kind of filters into even our way of thinking about ourselves in the church, and even might color the way that we hear certain parts of Scripture. Our gospel reading this morning is a case in point. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And later he says, "Those who love me, I will love, and I will, the Father will love," and so forth. Now, if you hear that through the common misunderstanding that it's all about being good, then really it confirms the idea that really what, as a Christian, you need to do is buckle down and try harder to be good, to keep those commandments and really work at it. It's something you've got to do, and if you don't, God won't love you. But it isn't that way. And I don't think that's what Jesus seems to imply either. It doesn't mean that we have to prove our love by working harder to keep the commandments. Instead, I hear Jesus saying, when you love me, being good will follow naturally. Keeping my commandments will be a natural outflow of my love in you and your love for me. Quite different, is it not? Now, there is some confusion, and it's a little misleading. That little word, if. In the Greek language, that word can be translated if or when. And it makes a bit of a difference. When you love me, you will keep my commandments. It flows out of that love. It's not conditional. If you do, that's great. If you don't, you're out. Very different. But that common misunderstanding colors the way people hear this. And what did Jesus really mean when he said, keep my commandments? In John's gospel, there's only one. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, that's a tall order, ladies and gentlemen. I can't live up to it, and I bet most of you cannot either. You know, I personally am not as loving as I could or should be, not even toward my family, toward my friends, not toward my neighbors. Sometimes, heck, I'm not even loving toward myself. And I'm sure that's your situation as well. We are incapable of loving as much as Jesus loved. One of John's disciples wrote, "See what love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." And then a little later, that, you know, he loved us. We love because he first loved us. One flows out of the other. Yes, Jesus in the other Gospels does talk about keeping the commandments, the two main commandments, love God, love your neighbor. So even this is all about love or love or love. What does it mean to be a Christian? Is it about being good? Is it about being better than the person next to you? Is it about a scorecard that you have to prove your love to God to be accepted? No. It's about love. Love and love that flows out of us as a result of the love that's poured into us. Again, this is difficult stuff. It is difficult. Hard to love sometimes. So what do we do? Well, in our lesson, Jesus tells us we have help. He says, "I will send you an advocate." That word's literally, it's paraclete. And sometimes people think of that as like a defense attorney who goes with you to court. But actually, it's the person who stands next to you. It's the person who stands by you when you're in trouble, who stands by you when you're suffering, stands by you when you're hurting. He says, "I will send you an advocate who will stand by you." And I would add, help you to keep that commandment, to love others as I've loved you. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphaned. This passage and next week as well comes from the so-called farewell discourses. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. He's about to be arrested and crucified and all of that. And he says, I will not leave you orphaned. That's family language. I will not abandon you. I will send an advocate. It's not Pentecost yet, but we're talking the Holy Spirit here. Jesus will send his Spirit to stand by you, to walk with you, to help us to love. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what following Jesus is all about. Loving others, loving ourselves, loving our neighbors, loving God, of course, and serving in that love. How's the song go? And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.